John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10 says this, and this is Jesus speaking as the good shepherd. And it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that they may have capital L, capital I, capital F, capital E, as Paul talks about in the epistles. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And what those verses talk to me about is about nephesh. It says, really, that our whole being God cares about. He cares about everything about us. God loves us and wants us to flourish. He wants us to prosper. He wants us the best for us. Just as I want the best for Grace and Hannah and Ellen and Rebecca. You know, and I'm just a little human dad, and our great big daddy father in heaven magnify what I feel about my children a million times over, and that's what he feels about you and wants for you. I want my children to flourish. I will do anything for them to flourish. Anything at all. And he sent his son to die, that we would flourish. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So today, we're doing our last talk. Fanfare. In our skimming over the surface of our way of life. And you've got the leaflets there, which I thought would be a good opportunity just to hand out those leaflets. It's basically exactly the same that's on the website. But I know if you're anything like me, we don't always check the website every 5 minutes. So that might be somewhere that lands in your bedroom or on your coffee table or something like that. Have a look over it, because we've got on there the mission statement to be a habitation of God's presence in the community, within the community. And then you've got the core values, and then you've also got the statement there. So I want to thank the teaching team, because the teaching team have taken us through this way of life, and some of the talks haven't been easy, and they've been quite like, oh, how do I speak on that one? But they've done a brilliant, brilliant job, so I want to say a big thank you to the teaching team for everything they've done. But what we have done is merely skipped over the surface. Has anybody here ever skimmed a stone? I don't know what your record is. Mine's 4. That's, I know, it's rubbish, isn't it? 4. I can't find the right stone. One day, what's yours? 3, yes, I've beaten Karen. Who's done more than, has anybody done more than 4? I bet Dave has. 14? 14? Adrian's better than me at it as well, so yeah. So have you tried doing it into waves? That's impossible. But so we've skimmed over the surface, but what we want to do is to go into some, and we've done a mini deep dive into prayer. If you remember, we did a mini deep dive into prayer. But what we want to do is we want to do some deep dives. That's where the treasure is. That's where the life is. That's where the joy is. I know when Dave goes away on holidays, you love a bit of scuba diving, don't you, Dave? And going down there and seeing what's colourful, what's beautiful, and that's what we want to do. We want to deep dive. And so next week, we're starting on a mini deep dive into Sabbath. We're going to really explore. We've got a teaching team meeting tonight, I think it is, Dave, isn't it? Yeah. Teaching team meeting. So please pray for the teaching team. We're meeting tonight. We've got 4 sermons we're going to do about Sabbath and finding out what that's all about. So we're going to do the Jacques Cousteau, those old enough to remember Jacques Cousteau. He's going to deep dive down into all these aspects of the way of life. Because as I've said there, our way of life is not a one-off sermon series, but a way of life. Okay, that's what it's all about. But why are we doing it? So let me just assume that somebody listening on the podcast doesn't know anything about us doing the way of life. Maybe it's the first time they've ever listened, and we do get a lot of people listening on the podcast. So what is this way of life? Because it comes across as being like a list of rules or kind of a tick box thing. And the last one I'm going to do today is about financial health, which when I got that one, I thought, oh, you know, it's one of those. But actually, it's quite exciting. But I wanted to just touch on what do we mean, recap, what do we mean by the way of life? And I'm quite a visual person. I quite enjoyed Animate when we did Animate, because I've got these like places that I go. And one of the places that for me helps me with understanding the way of life is my granddad's garden. My granddad had this, when I was small, it felt like it was miles and miles of garden stretching out, but then wagon wheels were bigger as well, weren't they? And here, that's like quite a small house, but this massive garden, and it was a beautiful garden, a wonderful garden. And it was his place of freedom. And after spending years and years in a factory, when he retired, that's where he spent all his time, in the garden out there. And I don't know whether it was also as a result of being in World War II and going out onto the battlefield. He was a medic and taken, and he never talked about it. Maybe that was also his way of escaping. But out into the garden was where he went. And he would go out there and he would tend the garden. He would nurture the garden, all kinds of weather. And with the weather, he would be out there growing all kinds of amazing fruit and, and vegetables, and he spent hours out there, and he would produce enough fruit and vegetables for him and my nana and us and the next door neighbors. And he'd take boxes around to the local doctors, and he'd have, like, you know, you see these boxes outside the front houses, he'd have all the, you know, spilling over with beans and all sorts of things. He could have left it. He could have just left his garden, and something would have grown. We can just leave our lives. Something will grow. There'll be a bit of fruit, a bit of like a wild cabbage or something, a wild strawberries will grow. But because he cared for it and he nurtured it and he tended it and he was out there digging away, talking to the blackbirds, because he did that, there was an abundance. He experienced an abundance of fruit and vegetables that he could share with others and that blessed him and his family and everybody else. And that's what the way of life is about. And within that way of life, can we dip into the next slide, please, Tom? And so what my granddad did is he built trellises. And you'll see on the leaflet, we talk about the way of life as a trellis. And there were three things in particular that I remember. I remember the runner beans, I remember the raspberries, and I remember the sweet peas. And that's kind of like my memory of my granddad's garden. And he would make these trellises, these kind of canes and wires and these kind of frameworks. And he would put these up and erect them. And lo and behold, several months or weeks or whatever it was down the line, there would be these gorgeous raspberries. And they were gorgeous raspberries. And these beautiful sweet peas that smelled lovely. And these runner beans that you'd have like cheese sauce over them. And it was so, so nice from these trellises that had grown up. And I kind of thought, why did he use trellises? Why didn't he just leave them to trail along the ground? And there were three things that has kind of struck me, which is relevant to our way of life. And the first thing is this, that the trellises lifted them up to the sun. Because we need the sun for energy, for life, for light. And things grow better when they're under the gaze of the sun. And so the first thing was it lifted them up to the sun. The second thing was it opened them up to the rain. And so more of the plant got what it needed, the rain for life, you know, the outpouring and the soaking of the rain. And the third thing it did was it raised them up out of the mud where they could have been trampled to death and somebody walk along with the big welly boots and trample on them or something come and eat them. And so it raised them up out of the mud and they then grew in an amazing, beautiful way. And our way of life is the same, isn't it? The way of life, the reason why we are doing the way of life and going on about it all the time is because it lifts us up to the Son who died for us. And in his grace and his mercy, loved us, loves us, and is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. And our way of life lifts us up to the Son, causes us in our busy lives to look up again to him and lift up our heads to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you. And we need a way of life because it opens us up to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if ever we need the Holy Spirit, it's now. It's the Holy Spirit to be soaked and to be drenched in his power and in his leading and in his refreshing. And so often as a charismatic church, we think about Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit poured out. The Holy Spirit's been there from the beginning, folks. He is God. Holy Spirit is God. He's loved us from the beginning. He was there at the creation, hovering over the waters in Genesis. He was there with all the prophets and with David and with the judges. He was there leading people, guiding people, refreshing people, doing their nephesh good. The Holy Spirit was there, bringing abundance. And he is there now, and he is always going to be with us. And we need a revitalization, a rediscovering of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is yearning. And he's not somebody that will force his way into your life. But he is yearning to have a relationship with you. For you to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I love you. Lead me today. Holy Spirit, how do I get through this? Holy Spirit, I'm listening to you. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? I'm going to wait on you. I want to get into a place of silence and solitude so that you can speak to me. Holy Spirit, and that's what the way of life is about, to open up every part of our nephesh, every part of our plant, every part of who we are to the soaking of him. And the third thing that is so relevant here with our way of life is that it raises us up. Our way of life will raise us up from the oozing, sticky captivity. I used to go like Whitstable Bay and go looking for crabs and I had to put the wellies on. And you go into the oozing mud. Have you been out into like a tidal estuary? And you're like, your wellies are stuck there and you can't move on because your wellies stuck in the mud. And this lifts us up out of the mud, out of the captivity of the mud, so that we can then also lift up, open up, and raise up those around us. So that we can also lift up, open up, and raise up those around us. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 and 6 says this: "You belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit." Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 6. Amazing verses. And so for me, our way of life is all about that. So now I'm going to launch into financial. I'm going to skim over the surface of financial health. And what do we mean by financial health? And when you Google it, when you YouTube it, there's all sorts of like sermons about financial health. So you can do that. All I'm going to do is skip over onto three different things. Because there's so many different approaches, as Andrew says, as Adrian said, about mental health and well-being and the physical health. We're all different, aren't we? You know, what Andrew does physically, what Adrian does for her mental well-being is different from what I will do. And it's the same with our finances. We all kind of think there's this kind of... Who's that bloke, Martin, whatever he's called, he does all the... Martin Lewis, isn't it? Martin Lewis is great. You know, all these people are fantastic. But you watch it and you kind of think, right, I'm going to sort my finances out now. There must be a silver bullet there somewhere. There must be somewhere. But we're all different. Our circumstances are all different, different approaches. But I've got three things that are true no matter what your circumstances. So three things. It's a proper sermon. Three things. So everything flows from the Holy Spirit. But thanks, Tom, if we could just have the next three things on. And they're all up there for you, so you can just drop them down, take a photograph, and that's it. The first one is live within our means. Let's get really basic and simple. Let's live within our means. And that actually maybe is a bit harder than we think, isn't it? We've all struggled with that, haven't we, sometimes? Different seasons we've gone through, to live within our means. I love that verse from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me." Love that. Not seen that before. And it goes on, the next verse goes on to explain why. It says, with riches, you end up idolizing your riches and not thinking you need God anymore. I don't need God. I've got everything I need. Thank you very much. Yeah. And equally, with poverty, you can actually idolize riches then. If only I had all of this money. And what it says is then it can lead into a life of crime as well. If you're that desperate, sometimes people do go down that route of a life of crime. Just been watching a program I wouldn't recommend to people in the church called The Outlaws, but it's great, I love it, with Stephen Merchant in it. But it's very much about people who are in the kind of the drugs business, and some of it you kind of think, oh, that's terrible, but then some of their backstory is very much about poverty and struggle and so on. And so we know that that can be true as well. But what it's saying is there is kind of be content with what we've got, in the sense it's saying rejoice in God. Don't hanker after things, but let's have a look at what we've got and live within our means. And so to do that, we need to pray about our finances. And one or two things that I've heard on the internet, which are great, and one of the key things was to set our budget in line with our values. What are our values? What are our priorities? What is it at this time in my life that is the most important thing for me? And is that what God is saying is the most important thing for me? And if that's the case, then I will align my finances. I will take charge of my finances, because who's ever experienced where it feels like your finances are master of you? You know, you're the victim of your circumstances. It's the tail wagging the dog, isn't it, sometimes? You kind of think, oh, I can't do what I want to do because I haven't got enough money or whatever it might be. And so we need to be praying. Say, Lord God, this is what I've got, but Lord God, what are my values? How do I want to align myself? And the way of life very much is in line with that. So have a plan. And again, when you go on YouTube, you look at some of the sermons, they talk about 10%, 20%, 70%. 10% for the church, 20% for saving, and then 70% for your outgoings, which sounds great, doesn't it? And, it is great. It's fantastic. You know, the percentages might be different for you. It might be 5%, 15%, 85%. Have I got that right? I don't know. But equally, it might be that 100% of your income needs to go to food, because that's all you've got. And even then, you're going to struggle. And it depends what season you're in, and we're coming to a time in our nation and our world where the cost of living is really going through the roof, isn't it? It's a real struggle. So I'm not going to stand up here and say this is what you must do. It's very much about let's pray. Holy Spirit, how will you lead me? What are my priorities in my life? The second one is this. Bless others when we can. So to be financially healthy means that we are in a place where we are able to give it away. Where we are able to, I don't mean able financially, I mean able in our hearts to give it away. It's not clinging on so much to us. And we all know that so often people are really, really rich are sometimes the people that find it really hard to give it away. And maybe because they've been in poverty or whatever it might be. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7 says this, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And it is beautiful to give, isn't it? And I know that there are times when I've both given and received. And I love giving. It's a wonderful thing to give. And actually, knowing the joy of giving enables me to ask, because I know that I'm giving joy to somebody. When I say, look, do you know what, Laura? I need a fiver. I'm really struggling. And Laura will say, okay, I've got a fiver for you. And I think, that's okay. Obviously, there's I don't want to condition anything this morning, but to give is an amazing thing, isn't it? I love giving presents to my children. It's absolutely brilliant. And so there, I love the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus? Yeah. What do you say? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Yeah. And I love it when Jesus comes to visit Zacchaeus, I'm going to call him. And there's Zacchaeus. Everybody hates him, which is why I love it when Jesus goes to his house for tea. I love it when Jesus goes to people that everybody else hates. And he goes to the house for tea and ignores everybody else. And they're all grumbling and they're moaning because he's been robbing from them. And he's been taking and doing the wrong thing. He's been like doing the opposite of what we should be doing to be financially healthy. And then something happens to Zacchaeus and he comes out of the house. And it's the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into his life. And it's the salvation that's visited his home. And he comes out and he repays fourfold. But he gives back more than he needed to those people that he'd robbed from. And I just love that story tells us that giving is not out of guilt and it's not out of showing off, but it's out of the grace of God. That we give from the grace of God. So when we live in the grace of God, when we're living closely to God as our way of life is calling us to do, then we become people who are generous. And when I'm talking about people who are generous, it depends on your season of your life. It might be that you can offer somebody a cup of water in my name. It might be you can lay out a full banquet in my name. But don't lay out a full banquet when all you can afford is a cup of water. Because a cup of water is good enough. A cup of water is brilliant in my name. 20p, £20, £200. It doesn't matter. It's where the heart is. What God has said, whatever has been decided in your heart, in God. And so 20p to somebody could be the most amazing 20p in the whole world. So God is calling us in the season of our life to be aware of where we are, but to bless others when we can and where we can. And the third one is to be willing to receive blessing from others. And my question is this, is what stops us asking? Because we all struggle with this, including me. What stops us from asking people? I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling practically. I'm struggling. Please help me. I mean, I'm not too bad asking for emotional help. You know, I'm feeling quite sad today, Simone, and you know, I'm quite happy to do that. But to go to somebody and say, I need a fiver. I find that hard. It's really hard, isn't it? What is it? I think it's the enemy, but what is it within us? I think some of it is there is a judgment. We live under shame and judgment and guilt. Obviously, if I'm asking for money, I'm not handling my money well enough. I'm a rubbish person. I'm all that kind of thing. All those messages that have been drilled into us over time for whatever reason. And it might be. It might be that my budgeting hasn't been great this month. And I'm okay for asking for help with that as well. Because I'm okay with asking for emotional help. I'm okay for asking for somebody to pray for me for my finger that still isn't there yet, but somebody's going to pray for it and it will get healed one day. I'm okay with that. So my finances, it's like a judgment thing, a guilt thing. But it's interesting, you know, that you've all heard this. but I'm going to repeat it because it's relevant, just in case there's that one person in the world listening to this on the podcast that hasn't, but the guy who's drowning, and he's saying, Lord God, come and save me. And along comes a yacht that says, are you okay? Do you want some help? He says, no, it's okay. I'm praying for God to save me. I've got the faith for God to save me. The yacht goes away and comes a helicopter, and the helicopter goes from the helicopter and says, are you okay? Do you want us to save you? No, it's okay. I pray to God to save me. And I've got the faith for that. And then along comes the RNLIB, or whatever they're called. Or is that the birds? Yeah, RNLIB. With their boats and everything, and and their life jackets. And do you want me to help you? And he says, no, it's okay. I pray to God. He's going to help me. And then he dies and he drowns. And he goes up to heaven and he says, God, why didn't you help me when I prayed to you? And he said, well, I sent you a yacht and I sent you a helicopter and I sent you a lifeboat. So what more do you want me to do? And you could be in a desperate situation right here now listening to me. And sat next to you is somebody that's got more money in the bank than they know what to do with. And God sent you a helicopter. God sent you a helicopter. And he sat next to you right now. I love the story about the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. It's slightly different, but do you know, I feel that God is saying to some of us this morning, and those listening on the he said tape then, what's one of those? on podcast. Ask and your jar of oil will not run out, but we need to get into that place of connection with one another where we're not afraid to do so. And I love Acts, and I mean, I know Dave loves, we all love Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we've got a picture there of a church that is not only giving, but is aware of the needs within the church. I get the impression people aren't quiet about their needs. I get the impression that in this context, in this community that's been established, there are people that are saying, I've got a whole load of stuff here. Look, do you want it? And there's other people saying, I need something. I love our Practical Blessings WhatsApp group, because that's kind of like a little picture of what that's about. Now, we need a tent for somebody who's homeless. I don't know if you got one, but anyway, it's fantastic, isn't it, that we can then offer that to somebody. So the church, and the implication is this, that when we get to that place, the church will grow. So if we want the church to grow, we need to be quite open with one another, don't we? And willing to ask for our jar of oil not to run out. Can we put the next slide up, please, Tom? Oh, it's gone dark. What's happening? There we go. So just recently, the trustees have been looking at our constitution. We do have a constitution. And every church has a constitution. And this is what was sent off to the Charity Commission. So I won't read the whole thing to you. But basically, we exist for two reasons. One is to basically spread the gospel. That's the first one, we spread the gospel. And the second one is a little bit longer. But within that, it says, for the prevention and relief of need, hardship, and sickness, the provision of facilities in the interests of individuals who have need of such facilities by reason of their financial hardship or social circumstances with the object of improving their conditions of life. That is why we exist as a church, and it's very biblical, and it's what we're about, and it's what the trustees hold the leaders and everybody to account for. Are we doing that? And if we have people within our church that are struggling, or there's people in the world that are struggling that we could meet the needs of, and we do that, we give quite a lot as a church. We don't talk about an awful lot, but we do with through the accounts and so on. But we do help the homeless. We do help people around the world. And if you are one of those people that's struggling, please come to us. We are in a season where, yes, we're saving up a bit of money because we've got a building that's coming along the horizon, but we have got money as a church that we can support people with. We're in that season. There might come a point where we're saying, where's the next 2p coming from? But at the moment, we've got that. And that tells us, spend it on those people that need it, because that's Acts chapter 2. I was reading this thing just to finish with, because the way of life, really, we can see it as very much about ourselves, but it's not. It's about the whole world. And so our way of life is also about, and we know at the moment, looking at the news, the things that are going on. And so if we're talking about financial health, what is financial ill health? And we call it poverty, don't we? There's fuel poverty, there's housing poverty. In work poverty, you know, where people are working but they're still not earning enough to be able to put food on the table, is on the increase. It's gone up from something like 20-odd% to 50-odd%. Those people are working all the hours they possibly can. It's not like people are work shy. It's people are working really hard, still not earning enough money to be able to live by. And so Dumfries and Galloway, where some of my ancestors are buried, apparently, but anyway, up in Scotland, produced this. And these are some of the effects of poverty on people. The levels of stress that people are under greatly increases due to financial ill health. They find it hard to concentrate at work, and it leads to fears about losing their job. They become socially isolated due to not having any spare funds to join in any social events, such as lunch with friends or going to the pub or visiting relatives who don't stay nearby. Maybe I should have said coffee shop then, I don't know. People may perceive them as not wanting to engage at the very time when they need support the most. People may be tempted to turn to crime. Parents go without food and essentials to make sure that their children and those they support are able to have what they need. I've seen that. Children and young people are bullied at school due to not having the newest phone or sports gear. Life becomes so much of a struggle that often the only way to escape can be suicide. And we've heard of the stress that it places on marriages and relationships. Poverty has negative impacts on children's health, social, emotional, and cognitive development, behavior, and educational outcomes. And it's not of God. If you're living in poverty, God loves you and us. But at the moment, what's happening in the world, we could blame Vladimir Putin, or we could blame COVID, or we could blame the government, or we could blame the rich people, or we could blame the tax system. But I blame the enemy. Because reading that list there, if I was the enemy, that's what I would seek to do. And that's what's happening. So we're going to finish by praying. And we're going to pray for financial health. We're going to pray for healing, financial healing for our nation, for ourselves, for individuals that we know, for our families. You may know individual families that are struggling. You yourself may be struggling. You may be working in a place where some of those things are very true and you meet it on a daily basis. We're going to pray that God will break the bonds of poverty and release his abundance. Let's just pray. Father God, it makes me angry when I see what the enemy is trying to do, but I thank you that you are an almighty God. I thank you that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of abundance. It says that you have come. We may have life and have it abundantly, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for those families who are struggling to put food on the table, for those families who are working and they really can't see how they can earn anything else and they still can't pay for their fuel bill. And they can't put petrol in the car, so they can't go and visit places. And they can't have that quality of life that you want them to have, Lord Jesus. And so I pray that you would release your funds, Lord God, from your kingdom. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the bonds and the chains of poverty would be broken. I pray for a healing, Lord. Lord, I pray for a healing. As we talk about nefesh this morning, Lord God, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole person. And we're saying, Lord God, that you would come in with, we lift up the whole person to you now. Us, our friends, those that we know, and this current world, Lord, situation. And we ask for a release of abundance and prosperity that comes from your throne room. Lord, we pray for financial health right now, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we want to pray this week that we would begin to intercede, Lord, for financial well-being, that you release your money to your people, that we would pass it on. Lord God, I pray for a kind of an opening up of the storehouses. Wherever the money might be stored away somewhere in this world, Lord God, I pray that the barn doors would be opened and it would spill out, Lord God, into those, Lord God, that are struggling. We ask for those right now at the moment who are considering drastic measures because of the stress that they're under at the moment with poverty. And whether that's suicide or whether it's crime or whether it's a breakup or whether it's anger, whatever the effect is, we cut it off now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you died at the cross, Lord Jesus, your grace was poured out. God's riches at Christ's expense, we just pray for your riches now to pour out, Lord God, that each person in this world would come to a place where they have the food that they need. Jesus. We pray these big prayers because we know that you're a big God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Simone, is that okay? Have you got another song that we could have? If anybody is struggling at all financially, either listening to this or whatever, please get in touch with us. Go on our church website. You've got our contact details on there, and we will help. Thanks, Simone.